The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the Monday after the holiday weekend edition. Back to work for us. Apparently reading alouding, not my strong suit, according to Jake from Milwaukee.
Not just Jake. We have better skills than that. But
the audience.
Relay the information.
Ready to declare that Crudy should drop out and spend more time with kids or grandkids. I'm not going to do it. I'm being defiant. I'm not leaving, and I may read aloud in this hour, Dom. But a question, where's Waldo? Where's the 34-time convicted felon ex-president been? God only knows, Dom. He did one campaign rally, and he did, like, some sort of a self-aggrandizing interview with some veterans on July 4th, and I saw some leaked video where he was saying basically, you know, he hoped Trump doesn't drop out or he hopes, or pardon me, Biden doesn't drop out or he hopes he does because they'll beat Kamala and I don't know, some golf course video. You know, he's trash talking on the golf course. Go figure.
Wow. Imagine that.
But they are really trying to be coy about what it is they stand for precisely, Dom. And this story coming out of Milwaukee, but picked up by the Raw story. And, you know, when it makes the top of the Raw story, Dom, got to share it with our audience. One of my favorite lefty aggregators. Furious RNC platform committee member. We spent thousands just to be rolled. They might have been Rickrolled. Never going to give you up. Never going to let you down. You've met your candidate, right?
I think you have. I mean, you should. And that's the thing we don't get. This way you don't get about a guy like Donald Trump. He will eventually roll you. That's what he does. Sooner or later, you will get crossed with Trump and you will be rolled one way or another. Happens to everyone.
Dami, member of the closed-door Republican Party platform committee meeting, unleashed your own fury after the committee voted to pass former President Donald Trump's policies into the party as a whole. Political director Matt Smith of WISN 12 News Milwaukee caught up with Gail Rezuka, I don't know, sounds like sucka, a platform committee member from Utah, and she apparently, Dom, was incensed. I've never seen this before. I don't understand why they did it. And I'm extremely disappointed that we do not have any pro-life language, she said, about the GOP's new policy that rejects, the federal ban on abortion. So is Trump abandoning his base, Dom? They rolled us. That's what they did.
That's what they did?
They told Gail Rezuka to suck it, apparently, Dom. Meanwhile, GOP platform committee member from Florida, Kevin Mariano Cabrera, claimed we have a unified party behind President Trump. The anti-Trump group, the Lincoln Project, responded to the video saying, maybe a king isn't so cool after all, huh?
Huh? Maybe not.
Self-described pastor Stephen Simpson of Alabama took to social media to say, Donald Trump is not pro-life. He has cynically used the pro-life movement and played evangelicals in general. It was all transactional. a Faustian bargain. That's like making a deal with the devil, right, Tom? The GOP is a cult of personality. Sincerely, a former longtime GOP activist and continuing Christ follower. And it goes on and on like that, Dom. Apparently, the committee members didn't like being rickrolled by Trump, and they moved away from what the pro-life agenda. Bad
some
politics.
Of the social media comments. I never thought the leopards would eat my face, sobs woman who voted for Leopards Eating People's Faces Party, quips Steve Anderson. another one was just, girl. So, yes, they've come down. Now they're Republicans. They have a whole idea. They got their new agenda, and apparently it does not include exactly what some of the evangelicals want as it pertains to the abortion issue.
Well,
and they're very sad.
Didn't they effectively make Trump their God? I mean, who needs the old Bible? We got the new Bible. We got, we got the Project 2025 Bible, Dom. I also find it very, very interesting. I'm sorry to keep interrupting and vice versa. The Project 2025, Trump's out there claiming, I know nothing. I see nothing. I know nothing about the Project 2025. At the Biden rally the other day, even Tony Evers is telling me to go Google Project 2025. Now you go. Sorry.
The platform. RNC releases party platform with softer abortion stance, call for voting restrictions. Molly Beck, Mary Spicuzza writing at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. A week before Republicans gather in Milwaukee to nominate Trump as their presidential nominee, the party approved a new platform that solidifies the former president's takeover of the party. Those daughter-in-law's running the checkbook. You think this really does it now? The platform, released after a closed meeting of the RNC party officials Monday in Milwaukee at the Baird Center, promotes nationalism, is less socially conservative on the issue of abortion access, and promotes new voting restrictions at a time when the GOP is pushing a conflicting message to their party faithful. The way the platform was crafted and approved angered some committee members focusing on pursuing a more aggressive policy on abortion access, who told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel debate was discouraged more than had been the case in previous platform draftings. Normally, people fly in and they're working 2 or 3 days on the platform, and it's great. This time, it was a very controlled thing. And sadly, there was no opportunity for the actual delegates to impact the platform. Chris Ullman, president of the anti-abortion advocacy group Eagle Forum in Washington, D.C., said, Ullman said any mention of the unborn was removed from the platform. Oh, it's almost like you guys got, like, rolled by your orange god. Here we go. Gail Ruzicka, RNC platform committee member from Utah. We just mentioned her. They didn't allow any amendments. They didn't allow any discussion. They rolled us. We only spent thousands of dollars to be here, and what they told us they were going to do isn't what happened. None of it happened. I've never seen anything like this before. I've never seen this happen before. I don't understand why they did it. I'm extremely disappointed. We do not have any pro-life language.
What's her name? Gail Suckett? Your MAGA messiah has dictated
Gail that. Suck it, Gail. So yeah, what you? Oh man, I can't believe the leopard ate my face.
844-967-2789. Pat from Forest Park, Illinois. Pat, welcome to the party.
Hi, Pat. Hello, Pat. Yeah, oh Pat.
Hey, Pat.
There we
Good.
Go. Hey, Pat. Welcome. What do you got for us?
I'm sorry. Yeah. So, as always, was listening to you guys have for some years now. Very proud to see the network that you all built. And I have to tell you, on this thing with Biden, I would just ask you to consider the following. Why would he or his team have agreed to a debate, even urged it on, if they didn't believe he could do it? It makes no sense. So this whole discussion about that he's falling apart and he's feeble, it doesn't jive with what rational people would do. I mean, they couldn't have believed they could fake a 90-minute debate, not with that clown across, you know.
Well, Pat, I don't
side of the podium.
I don't think they thought they were faking it, but Joe threw a cold or bad preparation or, you know, getting a little overcooked in the microwave, whatever it was that happened that evening, he performed abysmally. And what has been stated in a lot of the journalism I'm reading is he's been very insular since the pandemic. He's relied on a very tight-knit circle. And part of that circle is Hunter Biden. Part of that circle is Jill Biden, Ron Klain, his former chief of staff, and a few others. And, Pat, they may not be getting the entirety of the information that the American people are saying about him. When Stephanopoulos asked, have you watched the debate? No. I mean, I don't think I have. Shouldn't you? Shouldn't you watch the game film and try to improve upon that?
Or at least have an answer. You know what I mean? At least a very specific answer.
I'm not disagreeing with that.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, if you understood what happened through Univision and on the radio, people listening, not seeing the debate, had something of a different impression of what was going on. And again, I'm not saying that there shouldn't be answers to questions and all that. I believe in transparency. But when Bernie Sanders comes down and says he's backing Biden, that says an awful lot to me. And it will also say to me that it's almost as though they've got the snowball coming down the hill, going larger and larger. And I'll say the media, and I'm not including you in this, but there are the major outlets in the form of the printed press, New York Times, Washington Post, and so forth, that have taken on as a mission to push this guy out. And I don't think he's deserved that. I mean, with NATO coming to Washington this week, and they're working on getting all these things done, he is at the epicenter of that. I saw on the BBC today how the Republicans now want to claim credit and want to acknowledge how NATO is, you know, strong, and they've got a great alliance, and they're going to help Ukraine and all that. Well, who is behind all that? Some dullard by the name of Biden? Yeah, it was Biden, but he wasn't a dullard. And I think that if we would maybe try to give him the benefit of the doubt in all of this, that's why I bring you back to why would he have agreed to the debate to begin with? He's given an answer.
Pat, here's my concern. The people that don't want Joe Biden to leave the race are very self-interested. And that's all I can say for now because we're out of time, but we're coming back. More Devil's Advocates, more of your phone calls. 844-96-PARTY.
I know nothing. Nothing.
You're listening to the radio show your mother warned you about, The Devil's Advocate.
Welcome back to The Devil's Advocate radio show. Phone lines open. Go on there at next, 844-967-2789. John Nichols, our pal from the Cap Times and The Nation magazine, going to join us at the bottom of the hour.
I've got one saying, show some testicular strength. And another from Jeff from Sherwood saying, gesticular fortitude, question mark? Whatever floats your boat. Whatever gets you through the night, Dom likes to say.
That's right, baby.
844-967-2789. Let's hear what you have to say. Gary from Sussex, our little conservative love muffin. You're going to go watch Trump get led down the path tonight by Hannity, are you not?
Hey, Gary.
No. Hi, guys.
Are you afraid if you watch your candidate, you're going to like your candidate a lot less?
No, I'm afraid I'm going to like him too much that I'll quit my job and go work for his campaign.
If they would have you.
All right. So, Mike, I agree with you 50% of the time, and 50% of the time I don't agree with you. But this time I do agree with you. And that is...
That has me nervous, but what did I get right, Gary?
When you talked about people with self-interest, and Jill Biden does not want to give up the reins. Hunter Biden wants his dad to run again and win. So... when Trump gets in office and he goes out there after his political adversaries, that he's not going to go out there.
Had the man already been convicted, Gary, of some gun charges that the rest of us would never probably have to face because our last name is not Biden? I mean, Gary, I get it. Hunter's always been self-interested. He could also be a loving son, and Jill Biden, always self-interested, but she's also the closest person to Joe Biden. And does it give you any pause if Jill Biden thinks he's got it? Maybe you should believe her. She's got a doctorate or something.
Yeah, but it's not a medical doctor. It's a doctorate in whatever.
So what? It's more than you and I got, Gary.
That's right. Now, when George Stephanopoulos asked him the question, do you think you should drop out? And he said, no, I'm the best guy for it. And then he said, well, what happens if you don't drop out and Trump wins? It's like, what planet is this guy on? Everybody thinks he should drop out.
Not everybody, Gary.
My best. I know, but most people.
No, Gary, do you think on your side, on the Republican side, on the MAGA side, do you think he should drop out? Do you think another candidate would do better or worse?
No, he's saying that self-interestedly. They think Biden's the most vulnerable candidate.
Yes, when he did so bad during the debate, and I warned you guys about it, and you asked me, who's going to be? I said, Kamala Harris. It's going to be Gavin Newsom. And he said, he's going to kill it tonight. Well, as he's dying out there, I'm sitting there telling Beth, my wife, I said, oh, God, this is the worst thing that could happen. You know, it's just bad. Everybody's going to realize, and now they're going to call for his head tomorrow, just like I told the guys on the Devil's Advocate show. And she said, whatever. So
if the president drops out, it'll be the advice you gave on the Devil's Advocate show, Gary, that'll be the straw. That'll be the final.
I gave it to you, and then Earl gave it to Biden personally on his interview. Didn't Earl interview him? I was watching ABC this weekend. Yeah. And the gal that interviewed with him, Sanders from Philadelphia, she lost her job because she opened her mouth and busted everybody and said, he knew what the questions were going to be. Well, you know, I hope Earl still has his job.
Well, those are my understanding, Gary. Those are different circumstances, but we certainly appreciate your calling. And I look forward to seeing what comes up. And if it is Kamala, Gary, perhaps you'd be a little more concerned, huh? 844-967-2789. Let's keep going on the lines.
Oh,
Don Nichols,
Gary.
Coming at the bottom of the hour. Don from Milwaukee. Welcome, Don. What do you got for us?
Hey, Don.
Okay. Mike, I got to hand it to you. You're so convincing. I tore down my Biden sign, and I got Trump. I'm going to vote for Trump now.
I didn't encourage you to vote for Trump, Don. I encouraged Joe Biden.
Well, it sure sounded like it. Look, this guy, this poor guy, everybody's against him. This poor guy, the moderator. This guy don't have a chance. Everyone's piling on this guy. Wait when you get 81. We'll find out how spry you are, buddy.
Well, I'm not going to be running for president, Don. You know, I got no qualms with the man aging, but I want someone that can beat Trump. And I came away from that debate startled.
Who out there is going to beat Trump?
I think Kamala can. I think it would be invigorating for the nation.
Or a woman president. That's what I'm afraid of.
So we're worried about misogyny in the day post Roe v. Wade? After the Dobbs ruling, you don't think that would be galvanizing for women? We got to worry about Joe bleeding off black voters. Kamala Harris, last time I checked, is multiracial.
Well, let's ask a woman. 844-967-2789. Jean from Eau Claire, you're up. What do you got for us, Jean?
Hey, Jeannie.
Benghazi. Do you remember the results of those elections when we keep going over and over any kind of issues that our presidential candidate might have? Every single day on every single newscast, when they don't cover all the crimes Trump has committed and all the awful things he's done, all they're talking about is Joe Biden. Everybody wants him to drop out. All the Democrats want him to drop out. Give me an effing break. I'm going to say this right now. There's a lot of us. I'm turning 70 in a little while, and I'll tell you something. There's a lot of people my age and over that don't answer surveys because we get all these phone calls on Medicare and signing up for the policies all day and all night, and they don't answer surveys. And they're writing out on different places and giving their feedback, and they'll take Joe Biden any day because he has experience, and he may have a stutter, but he's not a liar. So, guys, give us a break, please. It's hard enough watching Trump and all what the Supreme Court has done in Project 2025. Come on, guys. Biden can do it. And if he can't, his wife will say something. The people around him will say something. They're not going to give us somebody that can't do the job. They're really not. Because guess what? Democrats, and I'm independent, but I've watched these Democrats in the Congress, in the Senate, fighting for us every single day. They're
got to cut you short. Don't mean to rickroll you like that, Jeannie, but we got a fine guest.
Occupy didn't start on Wall Street. It started on our street, the Devil's Advocate.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, big Monday edition, a happier happy hour rolling through it. Those that are patient will get answered in the order they called in, unless they're CJ. You'll have to stew longer, CJ. But in the meantime, we got a fine guest joining us live via phone. He's our pal, John Nichols from the Cap Times, locally from the nation. John, welcome back to the Devil's Advocates. How you doing, John?
Hey, John. Hey, guys, are you playing Kansas as your bumper music?
Could be. Could be. Man, it's all just dust in the wind, man.
Yeah, I could be wrong. On blue. That. Anyways, just checking in on it because you're definitely going, kind of like 70s high school there.
I wasn't sure if that might have been Blue Oyster Cult, but John, I...
No, definitely cult. That's a whole different thing.
John, I missed the opportunity to say hi to you at the Joe Biden event in Madison, both of our backyard.
Yeah.
I did see you talking to Ben Wickler in the back of the room. I had a chance to talk with Ben a little bit later on the impromptu Friday edition. Didn't expect to do a show Friday. But, John, let me ask you. When the president comes to town, you and I answered the call. Dumb less so. But what did you think of Joe Biden's performance on Friday?
It was passable. It was fine. I guess.
I gave him a vigorous.
Yeah, vigorous is good. Vigorous is good. Not picking on the guy. But it was, I couldn't get out of my head this comparison. In 2012, when Barack Obama had a lousy debate with Mitt Romney, and a lot of people said he really blew it, Obama flew to Madison and he had a rally, kind of to clean things up. And it was before 30,000 people on Bascom Hill. In 2024, Biden had a debate, which didn't go so well. And he flew to Madison to clean things up. And he had a rally in front of 300 people in the Sherman Middle School gymnasium.
The campaign.
Something about that doesn't quite resonate as the Biden campaign doing what it needs to do at this point.
Now, John, the campaign will claim over 1,000 in attendance if you include the overflow room and those that did not get into the eventually it became a hot, humid, little bit smelly gymnasium. I noticed some odors in that gymnasium. But John, it makes you wonder, not Camp Randall.
Whether the ratio was 100-1 or 30-1, it's still, this is a big deal for the Biden campaign. They got to wake up one way or the other. I know there's the debate about whether Biden should continue as candidate. That's one discussion. This is separate and apart from that. They had a bad debate. They got kicked around a bit. They are feeling very cautious, very trigger shot. very uncertain about how to do things, and they're running too cautious, right? They're pulling their punches at a level that is not sufficient, right? This is not sufficient campaigning to beat Donald Trump. You can't do small, short speeches in small rooms to friendly audiences from now till November and beat Trump. That's just not going to work. And so they really need a major reassessment of how they're doing this thing. Again, this is separate and apart from the debate about whether Biden should continue as a candidate. This is assuming that he does continue as a candidate, but it is saying that what they did on Friday looked okay on television, just as some of the stuff they did in Pennsylvania over the weekend looked okay on television. But this is not a campaign of the level that is needed if you're going to beat Trump.
Folks, you're listening to the devil.
I know people don't like that, but that's what you have to acknowledge. I'd say that's a blunt assessment. Maybe some people don't like hearing that, but that is that's just a fundamental reality that they have to address.
John Nichols from the Cap Times and The Nation magazine. Thanks for joining us, John. Conspicuously absent from that small gathering, that campaign rally in Madison, Senator Tammy Baldwin, apparently even my Congressman Gwen Moore. What was your impression of some of the local politicians not showing up, standing on the stage with the president, John?
I didn't exactly see them stumbling over each other to be there. Mark Pocan, who, I think a pretty good argument can be made that he is the most popular local political figure, or certainly one of them. He was there, and he was very enthusiastic for Biden. He gave Biden a great speech. He was fully present, and so that goes in the column of, good for Biden. Tony Evers was there and also gave a good, solid speech, very strong, and again, solid for Biden there. But I didn't see the full legislative crew that you usually would see at an event like this. Didn't see, out of district folks coming in or anything like that. And of course, Baldwin was up north doing a tour of Minocqua and Door County. And all I can tell you is, in the summer in Wisconsin, when it's really hot, if you got a politician who figures out how to do campaigning in Minocqua and Door County, that's a smart politician.
Now, Daniel Bice tried to make it all about Tammy avoiding the Biden appearance. That wasn't your impression, and that's not my impression, John.
No, that's just silly. Tammy Baldwin has won every election campaign she has ever run since she ran for the county board back in 1986, I believe. There's a reason for that, and that is that she runs her own campaign. She sets a schedule. She does things. And she doesn't deviate from the program. She had planned to do a northern Wisconsin tour based around all the July 4th parades in the region. And frankly, the fact that July 4th weekend is a weekend when a ton of Wisconsinites vacation in the north. So you don't just see the locals up there. You see a lot of other people. It's very smart politics. It is sort of classic if you know Wisconsin politics. Anybody who's criticizing Baldwin for doing that or saying that, Baldwin was avoiding Biden or something like that, I think he really should sort of put them to one side as regards folks commenting on Wisconsin politics, because A, they don't know much about Baldwin, and B, they don't know much about how you win elections in Wisconsin. I'm sure that Biden would have loved to have had Baldwin there, and I don't think Baldwin is foolish enough to imagine that not being there will somehow separate her from Joe Biden. Like, people will say, I was not going to vote for Tammy Baldwin, but now I'm going to vote for her because she didn't go to the rally. It's kind of like low grade political analysis that doesn't really get you any place.
John, do you think there's anything that does change the dynamic? President Joe Biden obviously has been defiant publicly. He was on Morning Joe again this morning being defiant. Now, the Stephanopoulos interview on Friday night was basically a one question are you too old to be the president, Joe? And he kept asking it over and over and over again.
Oh, yeah.
But ultimately, you go, John.
No, I was just going to say, Stephanopoulos did a lousy job. That was a deeply disappointing interview. It was sort of on the level of Biden's debate performance, right? It was so bad, you're sort of like, whoa, I didn't know it could get that bad. Stephanopoulos certainly is not a fool, and he's been around communications. He was Clinton's White House communications director, and he's been in media for a very long time. He knows how to conduct an interview like this. If you're going to ask the nuclear question, right, the really difficult, painful, jarring question, you develop a conversation initially, right? You get the person talking to you and answering your questions. You don't have to spend a lot of time on it, but you start with a question about the rally. You start with, you know, a couple other questions. And then you say, well, let's focus in here on this fundamental issue. If you start with the, are you too old to be president question, or have you had your neurological test this week? The person you're talking to is going to go, no matter how competent they are, whatever, they're going to go to their talking points. And that's what Biden did. In fact, Biden went to his talking points so aggressively that sometimes he didn't even, you know, he wasn't even responding to the question. He was just, you know, repeating the talking points. It was a lousy interview overall. You didn't learn much about where Biden's coming from. It wasn't very illuminating. It also wasn't very good for Biden, because even with poorly constructed questions and, frankly, a poorly structured interview, Biden could have done better, and he didn't. It was bizarre, frankly, that he said, you know, he wasn't sure whether he had watched the tapes of the debate. Yeah. You know, that's not a complicated question. You either did or you didn't. And there's great answers to that, by the way. You know, if you didn't, you say, no, I didn't need to see that again. Right. And if you did, you say, yeah, I'm a glutton for punishment. Right. You know, either way, you can have a fun, quick answer, and there you go. But the answer he gave was not a great one. The other question, which everybody's talking about, and it's a legitimate thing to talk about, is when asked about the prospect that Trump might win, right, and how he would feel if Trump won, he basically said, well, if I gave it my best shot, I'll feel okay. Well, that's a terrible answer, right? You know, the right answer, this isn't about some sort of middle school participation award, right? Your proper answer to the question of how would you feel if Trump won is that's not going to happen. We are not going to let that happen. We are going to run a campaign that makes sure that not only do I win, but that the Democrats win the Senate, and that we are able to govern not in the way that Donald Trump wants us to govern, but in the way the American people want to. I mean, right? You know what I mean? It's a simple, quick, easy answer. If you want to go deeper on it, there are deeper answers you can give, saying, look, I've really thought about that, and it is a very serious concern of mine. If I thought for a second that by continuing this campaign would give the country to Donald Trump, I would withdraw this minute. I don't believe that is the case. That's why I'm staying in the race. You know what I mean? Simple, easy answers. He didn't give it, and I think that sent some alarm bells up.
John, for Biden to overcome this, he's going to have to do some non-orchestrated interviews, some maybe a Fox News interview, for Christ's sake, something where he goes out there and he gives and he gets and he effectively debates his point of view, if you will, perhaps not against the liar that is Donald Trump, but at minimum, he better do some town halls. I mean, I gotta think there's a few news networks willing to drop everything for a Joe Biden town hall. I bet they do it this week.
Of course they would. And you guys would even give an hour on your show. You know, look, anybody would do this, right? It's a very interesting topic. It's one people care about. So, of course, there's going to be interest in the subject. But it kind of goes deeper than that. You're at a point now where everybody's talking about this. And I mean everybody. Like, you know, my daughter's friends are talking about it. Everybody on the street. You know, this goes way beyond normal political insider or political junkie talk. It's a big national subject. So the interest level is very, very high. And generally, the way you deal with that is a 60 Minutes interview. And, you know, one would presume the president, if he said today, you know, I'm willing to sit down with whoever you want to send over from 60 Minutes on Thursday afternoon or Friday afternoon, they would do it, right? I mean, and that's sort of the way you confront this, because whether you love 60 Minutes or not, there's general assumption that it's not going to be softball questions, but it also is not going to be stupid questions, right? It's going to be a serious conversation. And frankly, Biden needs to have about a dozen serious conversations really fast.
John Nichols, do you have an exclusive with the president you'd like to announce?
I would be glad to talk to the president. And I will tell you something. If I was talking to the president, I would want to have a good conversation with him. I'd want to hear where he's at. I'd want it to be relaxed, right? Get beyond the kind of craziness of all this. And I'd like to hear what he has to say. Because that's where you really get a judgment of somebody. It's not in these, you know, high stakes interview like a 60 Minutes one. That would be very high stakes, and you might get a good judgment there. It didn't happen with the Stephanopoulos interview. But at the end of the day, this is what I will say about this, having interviewed a lot of candidates for president. And
John, I'd love to know, but we're out of time.
The Devil's Advocates, radio for the 99%.
Yeah, thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show, our last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now, 844-967-2789. Rich, I believe the musical choice of the last segment, Head East, right? Yeah, thank you, my man. We'll take your calls, 844-96-PARTY.
I thought that was In Excess, Devil Inside.
Well, that one now, yes. The last segment was not Kansas. Thank you, John Nichols from The Nation and Cap Times locally. Would have loved to have heard that last statement, but we'll bring him back again soon.
I asked John what his final words of wisdom were, and my takeaway was he said, you know, there is only one true devil, and it's Crudy.
Yeah.
No, I actually went to find out what John's final words of wisdom, because I knew you and the inquiring minds in our audience would want to know.
Man, yeah.
And when I got in there, he hung up right as I...
Oh.
So sorry. As was once said on this fine radio network, I guess we'll never know.
We know you, our fair audience, 844-967-2789. Getting to the lines. Let's do it. L.A. Tom from the leftist coast. Welcome, Tom. Happy days. What do you got for us?
Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys. You know, first off, most important thing of anything is Project 2025. If we want to actually have freedoms in this country, if we don't want to have an authoritarian dictator that's going to control everything, I mean, the Supreme Court is already on its way, you know, to making 2025 a reality. And I don't know about you guys, but, you know, I really don't want to have a knock on my door just because of the fact that I happen to be in a relationship with my husband for 20 years and someone taking me off and disappearing me. And that may sound very hyperbolic, but very, very true. And this game that the media is playing, my God, you know, they should be ashamed of themselves. I know they can say.
Hang on a second. Let me just interrupt, if I may. The media, the game the media is playing. I'm assuming you're referring to this discussion of Joe Biden, is he capable, and so on and so forth. But is it the, you think the media is driving it? Because, you know, people I'm talking to, I mean, they're thinking it. You know what I'm saying? It's hard for me to believe that everyone who brought this subject up to me, and I've been trying to keep my head down, man. It was July 4th. I want to have a party and family in town, man. It was a Summerfest. But it kept coming up, and no one was telling me where they heard it from. They were just concerned about the and a lot of these folks aren't Trumpsters, man, mind you. They're not gonna like all of a sudden just leave and go vote for Donald Trump. And these are solid blue Dems who are concerned based on what they saw and looking at the polls and the math and thinking, you know, we might be running out of time, Tom. That's not a media driven narrative to me. This is to my impression, this is groundswell up, dude.
No, but to me, I mean, I had the same thing happen at my 4th of July parties as well. And that was very, very close after the debate. That was very close after, well, they didn't have the Friday interview at that point. But the thing is, the media, if you turn on the corporate media right now, this is all they talk about. They don't talk about Project 2025. They don't talk about the fact that we have someone that truly wants to be an authoritarian dictator in this country right now. And the thing is, you know, this whole fair and balanced thing, like if one side does it, then you have to have some facts on the other, or not even facts, but you have to have something on the other side. This is ridiculous. Because
Tom, let me.
There are facts, and there are some things that are actually going to ruin our democracy.
Tom, let me.
They don't know how to cover the facts at the end of the democracy.
Okay, let me ask you some facts, Tom. Here's the question. If this entire elective cycle was not about whether or not Joe Biden's too old or capable of doing the job, what if we could turn all our attention to whether or not Donald Trump's a criminal and whether or not he is morally fit to sit in that office? And you and I and Dom agree he's not. But if Joe Biden steps down, I mean, do you know the interest there will be in the Democratic National Convention as the world tunes in to find out what the Democrats are going to do? The contrary thought to that is what we're tuning in to see if Joe Biden craps the bed on stage one night. I mean, nobody's interested in this election. Nobody wants this Faustian bargain right now, Tom. But if the Democrats turn this all on their ear, if they put Kamala in the position, dude, I'm just telling you, it is going to change the entire dynamic of the race for the better, because now we're talking about Trump. Now we got a former attorney general hammering Trump. Now we've got her debating a criminal. You know what I mean? That is a much different thing than, are you too old, Mr. Biden? Do you need another cognitive test? Have you taken your Metamucil, Mr. Biden? I mean, I don't want to talk about it either.
Thanks for the call, Tom, but you better hope Kamala Harris doesn't misspeak on stage, because everyone's going to jump on her ass. Wisco Paul, you are up. You will have the last word of the day. What is it, Paulie?
Hey, Paul.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. It kind of reminds me of the peanut butter and jelly campaign they ran against Johnson. They didn't have their act together. Somewhere along the line, the Democrats have to get their act together and either do what Trudy says, you promote Kamala Harris, or you run Joe Biden out there unscripted to prove to everybody that he is okay. Otherwise, like you said, Trudy, that's all you're going to talk about, because that's who the media is. They find something, and they just drill down on it, and Trump gets the slide.
Well, maybe Trump will say some outrageous stuff to Hannity tonight. What do you think the chances are?
Pretty sure that will happen. Thank you for the call, Paulie.
Thank you all for listening. Thanks to our fine guest, John Nichols from The Nation, from The Cap Times. I will watch the Trump interview with Hannity because I am a glutton. And I will report back tomorrow on the big show. And we'll decide together whether or not Donald Trump should drop out of the presidential race
for lack of
cognitive ability and perhaps early onset dementia. You know what they say about Joe. Thank you all for listening. Thank you, Rich. Thanks for playing.
Thank you, buddy.
Have a great night.